你的那个弟兄你个人身份，再次的你要 boast of your spirit of revelation in our hearts, is even we receive all the insights available in your word and start to move of the spirit, and everybody begins to walk in fresh light and start to guidance and direction in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. How we are being led by the Spirit of God, praise God. Isaiah 48, verse 17, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which led thee to prophets, who lead thee by the way that thou shouldst go. Psalm 32, verse 8. Verse 8, I will instruct thee and to be in the way that thou shouldst go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will instruct thee and instruct thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So he said, every word used is personal. Personal words. That is, God will do it himself. No mediation. Alright? He guides us personally. I thought we went through all that the last time. Alright, so God guides us personally. It's in Isaiah 36, 20, we're going to see that. But before we go to Isaiah 36, we said the word, now go to Isaiah 36, we should do that quickly. Isaiah 36, because I want us to touch on very practical things. Isaiah 36, 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take you with the spirit out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So notice the word, my spirit is vital. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now what led is an ongoing work, is not an experiential work. As much as it's an ongoing word, that it is something that is ongoing. That is, right now, we are being led by the Spirit of God. Say, I'm being led by the Spirit of God. So notice that word, the Spirit, my Spirit, Spirit of God. And we said, they mean one and the same thing. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but as it's written, high as not seen, is written me, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Notice again, it says, the Spirit. The Spirit. So, now, a typical word that wants to observe is Ezekiel 36:27. Now, I'm probably going to finish on Sunday, but let me just give you a glimpse of this. Now, nobody can say, I give you my heart. Do you get that? Oh, sorry, you can do it the first. Give my heart to you. Jesus, give my heart to you. You're not service, right? No, but I mean, that was even nice. That's fair, right? But see, the point is, the heart now refers to, now, what does the word heart, but the word in the Greek, it refers to the core being of someone, that from that which issues what I'm most lost, that is, that which is the central part of a man, what makes him who he is. Basically, and that consists of the spirit and the soul. Now, listen to this. God didn't say, I'll give you my heart. No, he said, I'll give you my spirit. A new heart will I give you. Now, why does that come in? That shows you that his spirit is now what? Our heart. Do you get that? His spirit is our heart. So the heart of the man who is born again is the spirit of God. Now, the word heart also represents nature. In other words, the Spirit of God is our nature. So the Spirit of God, so like you know, say the Spirit of God is my nature. That's your nature. That's what's natural to you. The Spirit of God. So he says, my spirit, his spirit, our spirit, referring to one and the same thing. Romans 8:14. He as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of born again fear, but as we have adoption hereby, you cannot have a father. So he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the sons of God. 15, we have not received the spirit of born again, but the spirit of adoption. Okay, 2. 15. So 16. For the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So this spirit, our spirit, spirit of God, spirit of adoption. Same. Praise God. Praise God. Is that okay? Same. Conjunction, same. So now that said, so his spirit, how we say that in the Quran, say his spirit is your spirit. Is that okay? Okay, now you're a bit slow to cancel that, but let me help you. What if I say his life is your life? You feel better. No, he just might feel better. Say, well, his life is my life. Yeah. Okay, well now. His spirit is your spirit. You begin to scratch your head. But it's the same thing. His spirit is your spirit. His life is your life. Is that correct? Right. So now, for the fact that his spirit, we said that he leads us by rule. Huh? So we can say he leads us by our spirit, which is his spirit. Okay? So that means it makes leading very easy. So leading is easy. Now, if you think it's what well, if he leads me by his spirit, and his spirit is my spirit, then where do I need the leading? You get that? Because God does not lead your spirit, because his spirit is your spirit. Does that make sense? Huh? You get that? God does not lead your spirit, because his spirit is your spirit. Yeah, right? So, therefore, then it's living. Now, we said last week that the leading of the spirit is received where? In the mind. In the mind. So the complexities are in the mind, where we make decisions. Now, a vital ingredient of a man, now I want you to notice this, and this is important, that the very first thing God said to man, and this is something you mustn't lose, was that God said that every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, Genesis 2:16. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt eat, for the evil thereof you shall die, surely you shall die. Now, that describes man. That means at every point in time, what proves that you are human is that you need to make choices. And the reason why you need to make choices means that there are choices. Now, why are there choices? That means there are reasons or diverse opinions on virtually every issue. So listen to this. It doesn't make you carnal. It doesn't make you devilish. It just shows that you are human. So listen. Because God did not give man a free will when man said, let me say like this. Man did not have a free will when he sinned. Man had a free will before he sinned. Man had a choice before he sinned. So having a choice is not a product of the fall. That makes sense to you. Huh? So basically, that means if I say Jesus, the word became flesh. Explain this on Sunday again. The word became flesh, I always ask. Did Jesus say no? Could he sin? Yes. Because if he couldn't sin, then nothing he did is obedience. That's programming. He obeyed. He chose to. That means nothing can be called suffering. Because this was the reason he went through. Alright, so basically, you are, and Jesus was not a sinful man, so having a choice is not something.
So listen.
Good.
So come back again. Choice is not sinful. Okay? So, because there's choice, where is choice located? Choice is located in information. And information is located in our thinking faculty. Faculties. I'm thinking, right, this is, I can do this or I can do that. That resides in my mind. That resides in the soul. And therefore, I reason, I think, I look at things logically. So, the leading of the Spirit will be, look at this, to resolve my choices for me. The leading of the Spirit will resolve my choices for me. Now look at this. 1 Corinthians 14. So we say that the leading of the Spirit is for the mind. The leading of the Spirit is for the mind. Now 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. I want to explain something from there, then you understand. First of all, responding to he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. Now, notice that the word speak, I say the word, and in the Greek, I explained to you when we're teaching the utterance, that it's regular speaking. That is regular speaking, yet it says, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands, take the word in away, because no man understands him will be here. No man understands tongues, that's what it's supposed to be. No man understands, because the word in is in italics. How be it in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, notice it, regular speaking, he says, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, what's the word mystery again in the Greek? Huh? Mystery, what's mystery? Disclosed gist. That means the party that is listening to a mysterion will hear everything that you don't understand. He will hear what you say, but he will never understand. Now look at this. So when he says, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now he speaks mysteries to you. To God, are the mysteries to God? No. The mysteries are to, to where? That's when you're going quickly. He says, no man understands him. So you think you want to know him? So no man understands. So that means, when you say that means the mystery will be mystery to man. Alright? Now, understanding is the fruit of where? The mind of man. That's a better way to explain something. Alright? Don't judge your new man. Mind is the mind. No. So, he's talking about the mind of man. Now, when I speak with tongues, it's a mystery. Now, is a mystery mysterious? No. A mystery simply means the receiving party does not understand. Now, come back again. You, he's speaking. I am the one speaking. He's not this. This is the mystery. I'm the one speaking. Now, let's look at this. I'm the one speaking. I'm speaking to God, but I'm speaking in the Spirit. But if I was speaking in my mind, it would be a mystery to my mind. So I'm speaking in the Spirit. That means it's different between my spirit and my mind. Is that clear? So I'm speaking in the Spirit. I'm speaking in the Spirit. But the mind does not understand. That is, what I am saying is not disclosed to the mind. So look at verse 14. verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, who prays? My small prays, but what happens? My understanding, both am I, my understanding is unfruitful. Now that word unfruitful carries a thought that we need to think about. The word unfruitful is the word akapos in the Greek. A-K-A-R-P-O-S. It's used for seed sowing and harvest. So, if you understand the meaning of that word unfruitful, and let us get, because this is relevant to what we're teaching now. Now, Jesus used in the parable of the sower. Look at it. Matthew 13, 22. Remember, he says in Matthew 13, 22, parable of the sower. Mark 4, 19. You also see it in the, I think some other places is, now it's used. You've seen it in Ephesians 5, 11, Jude 12. Ephesians 5, 11, and Jude 12. Jude 12. That's a Jude 12. Jude 12. Now, Matthew 13, 22. The Bible of the sower, remember, one of the seed was sown, he said, he received the word, he received seed among the thorns who have heard the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, showed the word, and he began to be faithful. Now, he says the deceitfulness of riches showed the word. That means something was present in the soil. Alright? So it shook the seed that was sown and it became unfruitful. Now, what became unfruitful? The seed or the soil? The soil. The soil did not turn out what was sown into it. Is that clear? But something was sown into it. That's the key thing you must remove. Something was sown into it. So it couldn't reproduce what was sown into it. But something was sown into it. Now look at 2 Peter 1, verse 8. Second Peter 1:8. This is describing a believer who is not growing. Second Peter 1:8. Alright, I'll start 8. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. The word barren also implies that there is a seed has been sown, it was reproduced. So if the same word, unfruitful, is used for the human mind when tongues are spoken, that means the tongues came to the human mind, but it didn't produce anything. Now, why? Because the fruit of the mind is understanding. So it didn't produce anything. But anyway, he came to the mind. So, where do we have complexities? We have complexities. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the tongues. Right? Because the same seed sown somewhere, it was fruit. The same tongues, it says, the speaker of the Lord. So, the complexity, where the issue is in our mind. Now, don't forget, the reason why the mind is unfruitful has to do with what's in the mind. So, leading comes to our minds. And when it comes to our minds, this is key. We need to understand it. Now, if you notice, the soil, which is Matthew 13:22, maybe verse 23. And 1 Corinthians 14, there was a solution in verse 15. You cannot allow your mind to be unfruitful because your mind is where you take decisions. Your mind is where you take decisions. Your mind is where your reasoning faculty is, your power of volition is. So therefore, when you receive leading in your mind, your mind will first of all find it illogical. That's the first thing you notice. Your mind will find it illogical. So what's this about? Because this meaning, why should I do this? Don't have this mind. Why should I do this? Why is this coming at this point? Because the mind functions by logic. And that's correct, right? The mind functions by logic and reasoning. Whereas the spirit functions in knowing. The body is about feelings. I feel hot. I feel cold. That word "I feel bad" is actually in the mind. Right? That's it. No, I remember we had we were having my dad's burial ceremony, and everybody was looking sober. They were thinking, we were saying, "Oh, sorry," and all that. And I got a phone call. The other guy said, "Well, yeah, too busy for that. It's a special day." But I got a phone call. And that phone call was someone who had done something for a company, and they were asking for the account to credit. My dad is there. That money wasn't there. Accounting has changed. I ran away from the very place. Hello, yeah, I heard you, I heard you. I'm here. Yes, sir. Can I come back? He said, "No way, you cannot come up." I'm on the line. I'm alive. Now, let's switch the way you were feeling. Something you heard. Right? Something much more logical. Because I just spent millions to bury my dad. Yeah, so it's logical to bury back. Since that man works, it just makes sense. But imagine if I pick the call, and then I have a meeting, don't pick the call, I go, "Why? You mean do what? What? What's in you?" It just doesn't make sense. Yes, the mind is logical. Work with logic. Right? The one who lost it. We just told you, he lost, maybe you probably, I told him, well, you have to leave this job. And then he said, if you think to leave this job, then someone calls you. I'm calling you from ExxonMobil headquarters, Texas. We're going to give you a contract of $3 billion. You go back to the office and say, take a job!
I don't want to work anymore!
What changed your emotions? The logic. This is more reasonable. Is that it? But sometimes, if you had had a bad experience before, when you now went to the company and made rejected, you said, well, you called me. Your logic will tell you, don't rejoice yet. So something is in your mind. So sometimes you need your experiences, which I said, unfruitful. You see that? Unfruitful. That's all right. Spook out. I'm not too happy in 2007. You see how unfruitful the life is? It just takes us to the It tells you about Joseph quickly. You remember Joseph in the That's how he uses his mouth to co-jab him. See how the mind works. So, the leading of the spirit is for what? Mind. Goes to your mind. So, so where we have complexity is how we think. Say, hey. Hey. Praise God. You know, grace. If you were called by God to the ministry, I remember in the 70s, you pray about it, then you go. But you know, today, when preachers can go on television to buy jets, you know, if you hear your call to the ministry, you say, buy it! Which ministry? You say, it's coming to church, huh? Logic. So, those guys are sick, guys. 3 minutes to call it off with. How can I buy a jet? 3 minutes off it. You can't buy a jet in 3 minutes off it. 40 minutes! The prophetic world. And then people say, so do it now. Don't touch the dial. Pick your phone now. Send the credits. So logic. Right? The man says, when we call the news, when you hear, Chai, it's in Chicago. But if you've never heard about China before, you never know what's there. You know, you just go, thank you, Father. I received that. So Acts 20:22. Do you understand that now? That's where we have complexity. Actually, there's ease in leading. The challenge is in our thinking. Praise God. So sometimes, when we're praying, I think, when you're praying, see, when you need direction or something like that, you're praying, you're not praying for God to talk to you. He talks to you all the time. You're not praying to be led. You're always there. You're praying to be able to listen. So every time you're praying like that, and you're fasting, you're dealing with your mind. It's your mind you're dealing with. You don't pray for God to guide you. He does that on his own. So every time you're praying and you're fasting like that, you're actually preparing your mind. When you're fasting like that, you're making your mind submissive. And you go, oh, my, God do this. I've got to do this. Now listen. Now listen. So the man's unfruitful. Okay? So Acts 22. Paul, he says, I go bound in the spirit. The word bound in the spirit means compelled. Compelled in the spirit. That is, I am persuaded in my spirit. Look at that. Compelled in the spirit. Not knowing the things that shall befall me. Now, how can I be persuaded and not know? That means my mind cannot picture what's going on. But I am compelled in my spirit. One day, and I'll forget this. How was that? I remember reading this book, I Believe by the Spirit of God, by you, Robertson. The very first major thing that tested my knowledge, I remember I read that book, it was, I just finished putting a Four Square church meeting, August that year. So I read the book, I usually write, when I read books, I take some fasts. So I was fasting. So I read that book. And the very first major thing to test me was I just sensed in my spirit, and I heard in my mind, go to that house. So I kept, I felt. It doesn't make any sense. I am to go to minister here. And I hear, go to that house. So I'm going to the house and I don't know. To say what? No. Go to say what? Nothing. Just go to that house. So I didn't go. Yes. Go to the house. So it's time for the house. Like, okay, so what? So I thought about it. Alright, so I just waited and I said, well, what do I do? Go to the house. So I asked. The lady, young girl, she came out and I said, you stay here? I said, yes. Then on our home, let me ask you, I said, there's another house at the back. Young girl, she just walked away. So I said, okay. So I just went behind the house because it was stupid to go into the house. So I went behind as well, an uncompleted building. And I found this young lady. She was about to commit suicide. And I kind of felt, wow. You know, I didn't have any other meaning but go to the house. So I just went home. Oh. You know, she shot the song, came in. Uncompleted building like that. No roof. So the girl there said there's a house there. She just looked like a small girl. She just no house and nobody lived there. But I knew that I was to go to this house. But it wasn't this house, it was the house behind. So I found out that in the inward witness, you need to take the step to lead to another step. Most of us are looking for God to give us a storybook of our entire life. That's never going to happen, except in a movie. You have to take one step after the other. Just like you cannot, there is no way, but let me try to get an example. There is no way you can get to Ibadan without going, for instance, you stay at the toll gate. To get to Ibadan, you have to get to seven places to get there. You can't jump. So to get to a destination, you have to take every step. One step after the other. You know, you cannot disobey, go to that house, and know what to do after that house. One leads to the other. So you need to listen to your spirit. A lot often. So Paul says, not knowing the things that shall befall me. I don't know this. So he knows in his spirit, but he doesn't know where. His mind can't comprehend. He doesn't know. Because 1 Corinthians 2, Paul tells us that we have not received verse 12, the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Yet several in the same epistle, Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know you not that you are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6, and then 2 and 3, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Know you not that you shall judge the angels? Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Glorify God in your body, which is God's. Verse 19 and 20. So when it says you know and you don't know, it says the Spirit knows the things that are freely given to us of God. So know you not, we be there in your mind. So you know what to do in your spirit. What you're doing now is to ensure that what you know in your spirit is known where? In your mind. It's accepted in your mind. It's followed in your mind. And so, that's a whole lot of work. My mind is important. So, my mind is important. So, what I do with my mind comes back to me. What I do with my mind. Look at what God said. Isaiah 1:18-19. Shared that with you before. Isaiah 1:18-19. I think I shared that on Sunday. That scripture goes. Isaiah 1:18-19. It says, come, let us reason together. That word reason together is the word Yakash, Hebrew, Y-A-K-A-C-H. It means to judge together. That's your mind, to judge together. Isaiah uses Isaiah 2:4, Isaiah 11:4, Isaiah 29:21, Isaiah 37:4, Isaiah 2:4, Isaiah 11:4, Isaiah 29:21, and Isaiah 37:4. To judge together. So I must use my mind. So my mind is important. So the condition of my mind at every point in time will determine how I follow the leading of the Spirit. The condition of my mind at every point in time will determine how I follow the leading of the Spirit. So out there. Alright. So let's look at the things that can hinder my mind. What can be present in my mind? And can hinder my mind. That is, I'm being led by the Spirit of God right now. I'm being led about my career, my business, my ministry, my academic pursuits. I'm being led about what to do tomorrow. I'm being led about how to handle stuff tomorrow. I'm being led right now. So, what can stand in the way of the leading of the Spirit in my mind? Number one. Fear. Now let me keep this out. God used angels most of the time under the Old Testament to send messages to people. Psalm 103:20. He says, blessed be the Lord, blessed his angels, the excelling strength, and the acting to the voice of his word. Hebrews 1:14. He says, I did not all ministers were sent for to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. He says, Hebrews 2:1. He says, let us take heed. Verse 2. He says, for every word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. As the angels spoke. Now, 366 times thereabout, when angels give a message to a man, first thing they say, more often than not, they say fear not. Why? Because fear will paralyze your ability to receive the message. So 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, but of power, and a sound mind. The word sound mind means healthy mind. That word sound mind actually, if you take it some exegesis, means sound doctrine. Alright? But that's not for today, sound doctrine. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. 1 John 4 and 17. actually eating. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. But fear has torment. So what's fear? That tormenting feeling. That tormenting feeling. Fear is an expectation of evil. An expectation of things to go wrong. Now, if I have an expectation of things to go wrong, it stands in the way of properly receiving or perceiving the leading of the Spirit. So I must deal with fear. I cannot listen to God and be afraid at the same time. I must deal with fear. So are you there? Are you still there? I must deal with fear. Because there's no leading of the Spirit that doesn't have natural circumstances that negate what God told you. So I must learn to deal with fear. First thing. Fear. I'll take that again. You cannot be in fear and be in faith at the same time. You cannot be afraid and listen to the voice of the Spirit at the same time. So I must deal with that. I must deal with fearful thoughts in my mind. Fearful thoughts. Number two. Conscience. Conscience. Now, some people have wrongly said that conscience is the voice of the Spirit. That's not true. Conscience is a generic word. It's a word that can be used in different ways. Conscience is from the word synesthesia. In the Greek, S-U-N-E-T-H-E-I-A. Synesthesia. Synesthesia means dominant thought, habit, custom. Your conscience is a product of the dominant thought in your mind. Your conscience is a product of something that you feast upon regularly. Now, in the Old Testament, the fact that they kept presenting sin offerings gave them sin consciousness. You get that? You get that? That means conscience is a function of something you exercise yourself all the time. There are some congregations that have sin consciousness because that's what they hear and that's what they sing and that's how they pray. So conscience is a function of, conscience is not the leading of the Spirit. Conscience is your own making. How you treat information that comes to you. That's why we have something called conscience of an idol. That's not the Spirit. First Corinthians 8. So some have the conscience of an idol. They're believers, they're born again. But they have the consciousness of an idol. Even though the Bible says we know that there is no God in this world. There are no idols. Say there's only one God, the one Lord Jesus Christ. Say, but this knowledge is not in every man. So some till they believe as born of the Spirit, they have a consciousness of an idol. So now that there's also weak conscience. Romans 14. Paul says that some have a weak conscience. Romans 14. So you have weak conscience. Some have seen consciousness, some have consciousness of an idol. So your conscience can affect your mind. For instance, if you have seen consciousness, you cannot pick or perceive properly the leading of the Spirit. You have seen consciousness. You know, some people believe, and for me, so. That he will come in the scene at 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. But God cannot lead them at 8 a.m. That's sin consciousness. If God is the way people think, he'll have frozen this world trapped immediately. It's not like that. So, sin consciousness, first of all, you know, particularly if you have heard some sermons like, when the heavens are closed. I said, Lamb of God. I said, sorry, you have a summer? You have a open heaven. I'm not referring to the devotion whereby the new Christian Church of God. No. I'm just talking generally. People have said open heaven for years. You know. And then say, And say, there's somebody telling you 10 ways to shut your heaven. Some preachers are great. How can you not tell me 10 ways to shut heaven? I used to preach 6 ways to lose spiritual power. Now, if you do not know how to lose it before, I'm going to tell you. Is that not intelligent? So I'm going to tell you how to lose your salvation. You lose 6. So I can lose it? Yes, you can. In case you don't believe it, this is how to do it. I thought you already see what I was saying earlier. So, you have a consciousness. Some of you, no matter, not here, some believers, no matter how the Lord of God you've heard, law in Genesis, law in Exodus, law in Leviticus, you've heard all the gospel, somewhere in your mind, in God can still do evil. I believe in God. Why am I here? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? But we explain, I know you explain, sir, but sir, have you really explained? So, deep down, did you know your first impression as a Christian lasts for long? Are you gonna lie, right? Lasts for a long time. So you raise your confession again. I am the one of the, sorry. I am what the world says I am. Can you see consciousness? So, you always feel you have not done enough. That's in consciousness. You always feel you've not done enough. You know this. He will have kept all the rules. And then you come again and tell you. After we say, I like we heard about sanctification, it now says, the price of dying to self. And I'm thinking. Last week, we told me, alright, how to discipline self. The consecrated. I'm still doing it. You say, I should kill it. I should die. I don't have any meaning. He's a good man, but he said this, and I have to quote him, because I don't think he put it in the book, so we shouldn't quote him. So we should quote him. Anybody can quote him. Alright. That's why I'm not writing to quote him. I'm kidding. Alright. He said, anyway, said, God does not use those who are lying. God does not use people who are lies. He only uses dead people. I said, that's the guy. He said, I died many years ago. And I'm thinking, well, I like your Rolex. I really did. I like a guy like this. I have a Rolex. So you hear that and you feel, how can I hear good when I'm not dead? Same consciousness. You think, when you've done, when you carry a righteous act, believe that you carry a righteous act, because the Bible says that you do righteousness. But if you do, you forgive it. Is he forgiven? Forgiven? Are you? Even though he has forgiven, does he need to talk to me? Because you're used to your dad not talking to you when he's angry, and your husband, your wife, will say, well, I've been calling you since you picked my phone. Yes, because I was angry. He said, well, I've been talking to you, you've not picked my phone. You are little man. Those who are there, Lord, I get it. stay in consciousness. Did I say that?
Yes, sir.
So that hinders us in our minds to listen to God. See? You follow? Doubt and unbelief, anxiety. Anxiety is from the word carelessness, carefulness. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing. That's the first instruction before you pray. Be careful for nothing, but with prayer, supplication together with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That word anxiety is to have divine attention. Divine attention. You're anxious. That's what we mean. You're anxious for nothing. You are divided. Your attention is divided. Jesus used that in talking to Mary and Martha. He said, Martha, you're careful about many things. Many things. That means you are not paying attention to the word. And I tell people all the time, when you guys say to the church, I tell them, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, no matter what department you are in, you need to listen to the word. You know, in my years of traveling, and I'm going back there soon, but very limited way, I've seen folks. They won't show up for any of the meetings where you are teaching. And then they bring food, and they are always sisters. And they bring food. Hope you're enjoying as a sister. And I said, were you at a burger? I know, I had to go and take care of you. Take care of me. So I came all the way here to eat. So, be careful. Careful about what? Careful. I will tell those, I let this from Pastor Tom this year, you are, in 90s. He said, if you have to handle non-spiritual activity in church, in services, in programs, he said, I advise you pray in the spirit throughout. He said, it makes you sensitive. Because whenever you're handling something natural, even in Christian programs, you tend to go carnal. You get angry people. You're anxious. You're just going to go very calm. Very, very calm. Because, why would you not put that in the eye? What is it? Maybe you had quietly been going in tongues. Got it? You had to find yourself, but you did not choose to talk. So he advised that night. I've always taken to it many years now. So we do anxiety. Anxiety prevents you from paying attention. Anxiety. Now, number four, murmuring. Now, I'm going to stay on this for some time. Murmuring. The word murmuring in the Greek word, as well as it means gogosmos, gogosmos. It means to complain, to speak and mutter without a cheerful heart. To mutter, speak, and complain without a cheerful heart. Philippians 4. Verse 14. Do all things without murmuring. 1 Corinthians 10 says that some were destroyed because they murmured. Without a cheerful heart. Because murmuring is a condition of the heart. When you murmur, you're just murmuring. I know I'm mumbling? Watch what you say when no one is there. No one is there. There's a brother in our fellowship, then. We're a family Christian fellowship. We used to call him ancestral mumbling. He doesn't talk normally. Very good. It's just used to it. Now, partner, cool down. It's not a natural defect, no. I said, he said, I'm going to go. Now, I found out what happened. He grew up with his dad, and they had a very bad relationship. So he grew up, and his mom, a pastor, so he grew up with his dad, and his dad had another wife, you know, that kind of environment. So he grew up complaining, generally. So he always complained. So when he got born again, all right, he left it like that. All this pastor, that's it. Anyway, I would say, we have a meeting, we say, now, we're going to hold the next first meeting on Tuesday. He just was paused like that. He said, we have all of those meetings. People are laughing in this way. He said, like a philosophical position. I saw him on Facebook today. And I kind of felt, oh, Bishop, can we go to Bishop? I said, Bishop, I was expecting you naturally to respond on Facebook by moment. Sometimes it's just like that. You just murmur. You like to complain. There's some wives that are like that. They complain. Some husbands are too like that. Sometimes they know who's who. What? You talk to your husband and you ask him five questions at the same time. Even the computer takes it one by one. You say next, that's the computer. You ask her what you're worried about, and the one that doesn't say, hold on! Then you walk away. It's a situation of your mind. And the person says, deal with that moment. Now, moment is always a product of care and anxiety. You deal with it. Now he says, you rejoice. So when Paul was saying, don't murmur, he said, rejoice. Rejoice. I said, rejoice. You rejoice. That's when you come against tests and trials, you don't murmur. What do? You rejoice. Hallelujah. You rejoice. You rejoice. Hallelujah. You rejoice with an emotion. I am rejoicing, praise the Lord. I am rejoicing, praise the Lord. You want to know me? You should have let you, I am complaining. That makes no sense. Now that's not truthful. I love it, I am rejoicing, praise the Lord. Are you ready? Shout to the Lord. You got a microphone and you pick them. How is that a shout? So, you don't need to be remembered. How do I know I'm mama? Listen to what you anybody there. He is remembered. Now, listen, mumbling is also worry, which is actually worrying. So the energy from meditation has been diverted. someone define worry like this. He said to worry are deep meditations on the thoughts of the enemy that expects the word of God not to work. Deep meditations on the thoughts of the enemy that expects not the word of God to work. Well, I was talking to a couple today. They've been married, and then he told me they looking for the fruit of the womb. And then they came here to church, actually. And then he spoke, and then he said, all right. And then they said, well, we prayed, we've done this. Literally, we have prayed, we have done this, we have done that, we have done this. And I'm wondering if someone comes to you as a Christian and says he has prayed, he has done the work, but what reference is it? And we say, you have prayed, you have done the work. And you came to a pastor. Now, if you go to a herbalist, you say, you have prayed, you have done the work, and hey, that thing, like a herbalist would say. But if you go to a pastor, I've prayed and done the work, he will say, let's go. I hope you understand that. So they go, when I said, how we go? And I asked a simple question. Because when I was younger, I'm missing the counsel, I listened to everything. But as I'm getting older, I listen to the beginning and then the end. No. I'll restart now, you ain't. But some guys just wear you out. You know. And I said, do you want to have food? No, sir. Of course, I said, well, I don't know anything you'll see. So, you know what? I'll give you some teaching. All right? You listen to this teaching. When you believe the things in that teaching, let's talk about this again. So, that's it. And let's go, you said. Right. And then he said, is that all I said? The reason why I talk that long in services so I can reduce the number of times I talk outside the service. It's a life-saving venture. If you can afford to talk to 1,000 people for 3 hours, mind you talking to each person for 3 hours. So it's energy saving. Everybody at once. But if each person doesn't see you for 3 hours, and then they queue up, wait for a program, wait for a preach, and then they say, can you take counsel? I say, oh, good, good, I think, I know you're doing it. So we're going to the pastor's office, I see, but I say, so what are they here for? We're going to report. Say, how? They were queued up, and I said, Jesus Christ. And they queued up, they were waiting for me. And I was supposed to pray the afternoon things. I said, Jesus Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me? Okay, I said, do you want to take a game? I said, I wish I not as much as yesterday. So, you know, in memory, you're yielding to negative thoughts. You need to meditate on the word. Alright? You meditate on the word. You need to meditate on the word and listening to the voice of your spirit. I'll tell you something. You know, pray in tongues a whole lot. Pray in tongues a whole lot. Why? Because the Bible says, when you pray in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14:4, when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. It's not there? Are you still out there? Yes, verse 18, Paul says, I pray, my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Jude 20 says, build up yourselves in the most holy faith. What do you do? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, so we do that. Now, go to Philippians 4, that same text, verse 7. Paul is still talking. He says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. I want us to take verse 8 together. Everybody, let's go. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on this. I want you to take this text of scripture, you know, put it somewhere in your Bible, put it somewhere on your door, and tell yourself, I'm going to decide on a particular day. Just take a day of the week. And throughout the day, I'm just going to practice Philippians 4:8. Everything in the Bible has to be lovely, has to be true, has to be just, has to be a good report. I'm just going to focus my mind on this. Whatsoever things are, you feel your thoughts. Because your thoughts have to be able to yield and listen to the voice of your spirit. Or else that's your land. So you listen to them. Whatever things are pure. Think on these things. You should learn to train your mind to appreciate the meaning of the spirit. Quickly, let's look at this. Remember how we said, so if you deal with the sense you deal with fear, you deal with sin consciousness, you deal with sin consciousness fear, you deal with doubt, unbelief, you deal with carefulness, that's worry, you deal with murmuring, alright, in your mind, dealing with it, alright. Now, practically now, you know what we said? That the word, the spirit section is just like a Google. That is, you will take, listen up, this is key. You will take your thoughts, alright, because you want to pray about something. Or you're seeking to know the will of God, or to appreciate the will of God in an area of your life. Now, you will mutter and ponder those things prayerfully. When you mutter and ponder over these things prayerfully, you are searching. You mutter and ponder. Now, you are not muttering and pondering fearfully. You are muttering and pondering to yourself, that's meditation, prayerfully. You can pray about a matter for a week. You drive into work, and you're praying in the spirit. And you're praying with strength. So I thank you, Father, because I have direction as touching my master's program, which particular country and which particular state I'm going to hold. Thank you, Father, because I know it. You say, how do you know what I'm going to do now? I mean, you can't even go that way. Very well. Are you still out there? So, you're marching and pondering prayerfully. I'm not saying you say, is it Sister Shadi, Sister Beth? I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, right? However, a singles relationship meeting, 1998. And I said, that was the last one I was going to go for in a long time. And they said, love. The thing was, what's love got to do with it? And I went there prepared with Greek and Hebrew words. And I'm teaching with an essay in the Hebrew. I got the feeling. I was teaching, enjoying my whole life. And they were loving. And they were going to go, all right, the B part is the practical side. So I said, can you sit in the middle? So I said, well, yeah, we're good. I said, can we be real? I said, yeah. I sat there like a fool, didn't know what I was saying. Someone says, well, a lady, Christian, what I'm doing now with three guys, nothing like that. He said, this one, that one, they said some stuff. And I was sitting there with him. I went back to bed, I went with my wife, she went right there. I said, what does this mean? She said, you never heard it before? I said, I've never heard this before in my life. I said, why did you ask them to ask you those questions? I said, I'll never do it again. And he said, well, sir, you're too, what you told me? He says, you're too stupid, Coco. However, I had a club business was prayerfully searched. Because the things that are on our mind are very far from the good we know. Why do you say that you are three people? Three. You are all three. So you're quiet. Oh, I'm sitting on your heart. It's like you are also the best that wise, also the wise. But I'm surprised. So you prayerfully think through, when it's wise. Sometimes you have a thought. You have something in your spirit. You know what it is. So that it's about church. Church. Or something about ministry, about some good ministry. But the next thing you just sit down and you ask somebody, are you right? Say, how did you go back to your ministry? You couldn't say, we have started 6 branches in Togo, 6 1, 4 in Ghana. How do you do it? How do you, don't go back to the Ghanaian. I just told you, you want to make money. That's what we're here. So we thought, you should be patient. All right. You just prayerfully do it. You know, in our ministry, as our pastors, we don't go to people to ask them how they are doing what they are doing. We just follow the pace we have in our spirit. Amen. Yes, you know, and I tell you, as church members, so whatever you have in your spirit, concerning this meeting, let me know. Praise God. Not go and ask them in this church what do they have in their spirit or in their program. Because that's why we don't copy what people do because they're doing it, it's making it work for them. Actually, success in God's plan is not a question of who get the results, it's how do you get the result. How do you get it? Amen. Anybody can have a crowd, anybody can have money, but how do you get it? Alright, so you prayerfully look at it. You search it. Prayerfully think. Prayerfully. You can just think through and prayerfully think. Prayerfully think. If for instance, a brother comes and says, let's agree on this. Then if you're in a relationship with a brother, you know, your friends, business partner. So again, if you're in a marital relationship, go see what the more you think about the person, the more you prayerfully search, and then you'll be able to stand in faith with the person. If I call you and say, well, I just want us to pray about this together with friends, or I almost said we're in a relationship, thank you, I can't do that, that's so dangerous. Things are getting very horrid these days, so I shouldn't say anything that I could be called wrong with. Jesus Christ. Alright, so, okay. Alright, so, assuming we are in a relationship. And I said, well, we're praying about what God wants us to do, alright, and how He wants us to do it. And I'm thinking about you prayerfully, and I'm praying, alright, and gradually, I will get a film or movie tonight. But gradually, as those thoughts drop, alright, and I clear my mind, I share with you. I told you, guidance is in steps. It's not an event. Alright? It's in steps. So I can prayerfully, consistently consider the things that I plan to do. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Are you getting this? So I'm searching, and I go quickly. So I fix my thoughts on the written word, on the issues. Once again, let me go back to this. God cannot lead you with fear. And it cannot leave you in sin consciousness or worry or doubt. Never forget that. Fear is never a guidance. Are you still there? Fear is never a guidance. Never. Never. Fear is never a guidance. The Bible, the prophetic word in the Old Testament says, we shall be led forth with peace and joy. Not fear. So, notice this. 21. It says, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, where's that? In your soul. And receive with meekness the grant of what you receive to save your soul. If any be here, be doers of the word, but hearers only see your own source of virtue. If any be here of the word, this man is lacking of the man, who behold the natural face in the mirror, so that he be on his way, forget his manner of man he was. He forgets the manner of man he was. In other words, what you retain the most in your mind affects you the more. You need to be in control of your thoughts. Pastor Hagin, Pastor Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Will Hagin, that's my brother Hagin, that's his son. He's my Kenneth Hagin Jr., 76 years. He said that you cannot, he's teaching one day, he said you may not be able to stop what comes to your mind, by the virtue of what you hear outside and all that. But you can stop and control what rules your mind. You can control what rules your mind. I don't need to say this. There's so many of us, but I'm listening to it, that need to stay off movies. Many of you need to stay off entertainment. It affects your mind. Many of us need to. A whole lot of believers. There was a time in my life I took a year plus break of television. Because it was affecting my thoughts. It was affecting my emotions. You can't stay with the world, the worldliness, and the spirit of the world, and not have a complexity with the meaning of the spirit. You must deal with some worldliness. So now I've been listening. Are you listening? So you will do that. So you prayerfully consider, you prayerfully consider, you prayerfully consider. Now, this is key. Never, ever, 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 this is important. Never be in a hurry to make conclusions. Never. Never be in a hurry to make conclusions. You will still be patient. Still be patient. So, they're prayerfully considering. So, in tongues, watch this is one. As you're praying in tongues, you, oftentimes you pray out the interpretation of tongues, which is prophecy. And then it clarifies to your mind a whole lot of things. I don't know if you had this before. You had an impression in your spirit, you weren't sure what it was. You prayed in tongues for a while, and then along the line, not even when you were praying, you spoke out something that your mind now said, this is what you were saying. Let me show you that something before. It now became clear. Sometimes the interpretation comes much later, not the same day, so you pray in tongues. You know that? That's right. 1 Timothy 1:18. Paul says, "Persons has come gone ahead concerning you, that we then may with the good warfare." So prophecy also signifies things in which it brings clarity to you. Prophecy brings clarity to you. That is clarity to where? Now prophecy is for what? Your mind or your spirit? The mind. The mind. So there's some clarity that comes in the place of prophecy. So now then, are you still there? So. Now, quickly, look at these two texts of scripture. In Acts 18:4, Paul says, the Bible says, Paul, he knew in his spirit, Acts 18:4. Acts 20:22. So Acts 18:5, sorry. He was pressed in the spirit. Acts 20:22, he knew him in the spirit. Now, how did this come to be? That means Paul noticed. All of us are oppressed. We know in our spirits. The difference here is that Paul noticed. So the difference between a brother who is walking in the plan of God for his life and a brother who is not is that one takes notice, one does not. So the times you spend to fast are not times you get God to talk. There are times you are paying attention. And we're in a very crazy world. Sometimes you're so busy. You get out in the morning. You come back at night. You don't even have time to think, what in the world am I doing? So once in a while, you take a break. And then you spend some time to pray. Then you will see that some impression that will go into you over time become clear. You say, oh, you need to take a break. Paul asked me to take a break. This is a little faster. Is she not there? Are you not there? You take a break. In Acts 27, there's two places we're going to see, verse 10 and verse 21. Paul was wrong in verse 10. He said, hey, shipmaster, there will be a loss in this ship. Nobody will be saved. All the lives will be lost. That means he sent something in his spirit. And his mind got it wrong. Acts 20. But in Acts 20, verse 21, he got it right. I am sure, knowing Paul, he must have told him Paul. It was clearer in Acts 20 and verse 21. It said, an angel of God whom I have appeared to me. I said, there shall not be a loss of life, but only of the sheep and the things that it carry. So sometimes, indeed, to be patient clarifies the things you have in your spirit. Is that someone here? Are you listening? There's a word there that says that after long abstinence, which is used for fasting, sometimes it's just good to fast. Sometimes it's just good to fast. Sometimes it's just good to fast. Fasting simply means to take time off food and off secular activities. Some guy is taking time off food, then he's dedicating it to films. That's right. So I'm not eating, but all the movies I've not watched, you've really tried. No, it's time of natural food. You spend that period you study the word. You must engage in spiritual things when you're fasting. Brother Reagan used to advise that people should keep what he called a fasted life. Well, I'm not a fan of a fasted life, but he said it worked for him, but I believe in just fasting. He said fasting. Basically, what he was saying was that regularly Christians skip meals to pray and to study. Skip meals. No, not wrong to say once a week, twice a week. I just take time to fast and pray. Because we live in a very, very crazy world. Satan is his God. Alright? And there's a whole lot of darkness around us. And sometimes we just need to take a break of the regular drudgery of life. And we'll just pray in this a little bit more. Is that clear? No, not wrong in having something like a vigil once a week, or once a month, or once in 2 weeks. What kind of vigil do you sing throughout? I'm talking about a vigil you study and pray. You study and pray. Not only when you start praying, and you wake up saying, Jesus Christ, what happened? Oh, so I know what happened. As Peter, you're praying. You fell into a trance. I thank God that's what just happened to me. No, 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 you slept off. First time I said, I have Benjamin say. Benjamin said, he prayed 18 hours. I said, I'm going to pray tonight. Glad that Benjamin, I see Lord Benjamin. So I'm going to pray tonight. I'm going to be like Benjamin. So I said, tonight is the night. So I pray. So I'm going to pray until tomorrow. So I closed my eyes. I woke up. Not very here tonight. But you have to grow up. Amen. When I think of you, you don't do vigils. So I don't believe in it. It's obvious in your life. What do you believe in? You don't believe in vigils to pray, but you can do vigils to watch movies. And when a friend of yours calls you in from the States, you have to geez, oh, stop. I know I missed you. 3 a.m. 4 a.m. Are you not doing vigil? Or when malaria hits you where I'm sickness, you can't sleep. You know, one time like that, went to a friend's place, and we all started crying. You know why? The whole room was full of mosquitoes. I mean, the kind of ones that have teeth. We didn't know until the next morning that there was a swamp just at the window, and the window was open for fresh air. So they were just coming in. We had vigil. We've had several vigils like that. Started the midnight call. It starts from midnight and ends like 3:30. He said, excuse me, we are preaching. We are preaching. Sorry, am I saying something? 2 hours, 3 hours. You know, what profit to man? What shall profit the man? Okay, woman. Hallelujah. Well, would you make me an offer? Because, listen to this. Mark never said something. Now, don't forget it. He said, a champion is not known by what he does once, but by what he does daily. That the secret of those who win is in their daily habits. I agree with that statement of the Lord. That what you do regularly. Now, I heard that from Mark Murdock many years ago. I don't know whether I still say it, but I heard it many years ago. Something we do regularly. We do regularly. But what about doing a video regularly? Not a video because there's a problem. Just regular. Just pray out God's purpose and plan for your life. Amen. Nothing is as refreshing as staying in the center of God's will for your life. Even when things are tough and tight, you know you are right in the will of God. Amen. See that there? I say, we deal with the mind. I'm closing here. We deal with the mind. Take away, you know, the stress of the mind. Take away fear. We take away unbelief. We take away worry. We pray more in tongues. We pray in the Spirit more. And we prayerfully search. Prayerfully search. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something. There are many believers. This is the point. I'm saying this. I didn't plan to say this. There are many believers who left their country for other countries. They followed a bandwagon. And they are confused. They can be successful naturally. A good number just walked out of God's will for their life. Some left too early. Some left for the wrong reasons. Some went to the wrong countries. So you watch before you move. You pray in the Spirit. Several years ago, I wanted to leave out of frustration. I was ready to go. And I told myself I was not going to pray about it. You got things I don't know about it. I had to pray about it. I said, I wasn't going anywhere. Now, as I speak, the door of many nations are open to me. I can now go. But what have I done at that time? Maybe this place would have been used for disco. What's disco, sir? For clubbing. So, some missteps can affect other people's lives. Some have left the wrong time, some the wrong place, some for the wrong reasons. So watch your steps before you take that thing. Don't be silly. Amen. Let's pray the Holy Ghost and thank God for the things. Speak to fear in the lives of many of you. You need to take away fear from your heart. Fear is seeing consciousness out of your hand to do what God wants you to do. You are led by the Spirit of God. You are right in the center of His will. You are led by the Spirit of God. Let nothing bog your soul. The Lord by the Spirit of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you. listen. If you're in a relationship, married or not married, you need to deal with murmurings, nagging, fear, the fearful thoughts. Amen. We can practice the word of God in our relationships. The Lord teaches it. The Lord teaches romance. But romance will crash the face of large challenges. We can be spiritual. Amen. And help our partners to produce results in their lives. Is that clear? Prayerfully pray with your husband, your wife, your fiancé, your fiancé, whatever. And also in our business partnerships too, we can produce results. Amen. So I'm led by the Spirit of God. I know the will of God. I walk in the will of God. I know the Holy Ghost one more time. Come on, the Holy Ghost. I'll speak in the natural and I'll speak in the spiritual. In the natural, things are very dark in Nigeria. And I speak naturally because I'm informed. I'm in pride and trust. And it could become more difficult and very secure. But you see, the earth never corresponds with the kingdom of God. And so it means that somewhere, deep in your spirit, there's a way to go about things. So if you see shocking news from your office or from your business, don't let it shake your mind. Alright? Listen to your spirit. And I believe that this period is for many of us, for instance, if you're an entrepreneur or you're a career person, this season we need to new ideas and new opportunities for. If you just listen. I mean, Jesus told Peter, he said, because that's what's coming to me right now. He said, have you confused your master? We've toiled all night. Toiled all night. So nevertheless, afterwards, he cast it to this side. That direction, right? He said, cast it because the fish was there. You have direction, amen. I have direction. Amen. You will be led, or you are being led to where the interest is, to where the supply is, to where the relevant men and resources are. Amen. Because I know many of you here, I see you as a helper to people's families. You have one family, they have families. In the midst of all this, there is always Asia sending relief to Jerusalem. God is making you, or He has made you, a so-called for others. So as you listen to His leading in your spirit, you will find out where the door is open, the resources are, amen. But get it right, in the natural, things are getting daily. Are really bad. But we respond in the spirit. In our businesses, in our lives, and no evil befalls anyone here. Nothing. No matter what goes on out there, no matter what evil people are planning, with our eyes will we see the reward of the wicked. The thousands shall fall at your side, and all that rise, and none shall come near you. You dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. You are giving His angels charge over you. You guide you in all your ways. Amen. You are supernaturally led. You are supernaturally led. You are supernaturally led. The greater one is in you. In Christ. keeps you home. Every storm of life. Amen. You know, you may see the religion, I would like you to see.
So you're supernaturally led. Amen. So if it looks like you're in a relationship, a marriage, you're in a business, and sometimes it's not working fine, don't let that dictate your decisions. Amen. To walk out fine. You say to walk out fine. To walk out fine. You get home, you rejoice. Rejoice because you're led by the Spirit of God. Rejoice because you are not given to error. You rejoice because you are not in a mistake. You rejoice because you are success. You rejoice because you are productive. Amen. So even in the natural things are looking good for me, say I'm supernaturally led. I haven't missed it, and I will not miss it. I haven't missed it, and I will not miss it. What about saying that again and again? One more time. So in the natural things can be funny, in your home, in your business, in the country, but we're supernaturally there. The greater the test, the greater the miracle. Okay? The greater the depth and the valley that you find yourself in, the higher the deliverance will be. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing that song again. Same God, same soul. Just want to sing. We're about to sing that song for a long time.